Chapter 9. Abby told herself she could cry until noon. More than that would be a waste of time. Noon came and went, though, and she still cried. What was she supposed to do now that Clyde was gone? The small apartment suddenly felt like an empty prison cell. At 3 in the afternoon, she gained the courage to leave the apartment. She didn't have a destination in mind, but she needed to get out and see other people, even if just in passing. Surely, thousands of other women shared her exact circumstances. Perhaps she could find them, and they could cry together. Better than crying alone, she told herself. A cold rain slapped her in the face as soon as she stepped from the cover of the apartment complex. She pulled her wool coat tight around her neck and tucked in her chin. Seattle's February weather always made her feel low. No one gave her a second look. She lowered her head and shuffled toward the corner grocery store. She normally stocked up on food for the week on Sunday, but without Clyde around, it didn't really matter anymore. She didn't need anything, but perhaps she'd find something when she got there. Fewer cars trundled up and down the roadways, a result of gas and oil rationing. The newspapers and countless billboards along the street screamed the same message: conserve. Seemingly overnight, the bustling streets of Seattle had turned into austere pipelines of common sense. She came to a newspaper stand and stopped to read the headlines. At this late hour, they had sold most of the papers, but a few flapped in the light wind, fattening as they slowly absorbed moisture. Most of the big stories covered Europe and the continuing Nazi aggression against Russia. A story near the bottom caught her eye. It talked about the Allied forces on Luzon being forced to fall back to the Bataan Peninsula. She skimmed it, hoping for some tidbit of news about Clyde's brother, Frank. But it only covered generalities. "You gonna buy that, lady? It's 3 cents," the newspaper salesman grumbled. She'd already read a different paper that morning between bouts of crying, but she hadn't seen this story. "Oh, yes, of course." She dug into her coin purse and found the change. She handed it over. "Thanks." The newsman took the money with a scowl and went back to chewing on his wet stogie and reading a dog-eared novel. She tucked the paper under her arm and left the sanctuary of the newsstand awning. The rain continued to beat steadily. She pulled out her umbrella and walked along, staring at the wet sidewalk. She stopped in front of the grocery store and peered inside. It looked warm and inviting. She saw a few other women browsing the aisles. They looked solemn and unhappy, and she wondered if their husbands or sons had also left for the war. She touched her belly, hoping a baby grew there, but knew deep down that she wasn't pregnant. The passing thought made her even more miserable. She stepped inside the foyer, and the little bell over the door rang. No one looked at her. A few bored clerks sat at their stations or rearranged the stock to make the shelves look fuller. None of the staff or the shoppers seemed approachable. If anything, they looked more depressed than she felt. Instead of entering the main shopping area, she turned to the bulletin board and read some snippets tacked there haphazardly. The board hadn't been cleared for quite a while, and notes and pamphlets had been tacked on top of one another multiple times. She sifted through them, not sure what she sought. The more she looked through, the grubbier she felt. Some notes tried to sell things, others asked for help or offered help, but none of them held her attention for long. She sighed, gave one last look inside the store, and decided she didn't really need anything. She turned to leave and ran into a woman just entering.
"Hey, watch where you're going, lady!" the woman snapped.
Abby towered over the woman, but felt immediately threatened by her potent presence.
"Excuse me, I'm so sorry," Abby said.
The woman's short, dark hair and decidedly man-like clothing reminded Abby of a tomboy she once knew in middle school.
"Watch where you're going next time."
She pushed Abby out of the way and stepped into the store. She loudly greeted a clerk.
"Hey, Charlie."
"Trish, good to see you. What can I get for you?"
Abby watched the woman approach him, then lean in close. Abby realized he wasn't a clerk, but the owner, or at the very least, a manager. She couldn't hear them, But the man turned serious and pointed toward the back. Trish looked around conspiratorially, then followed him toward the far end of the store. Instead of leaving, Abby entered the store and pretended to shop. She didn't know why, but the scene intrigued her. It beat going back to her dismal apartment. She moved down the aisle until she stood in front of a nearly bare shelf at the far end. She picked up a dusty can of beets and pretended to read the label. She leaned out and saw the woman and clerk just entering a side door. They shut the door behind them, and a small unlocked padlock swung on the hook. Abby had glimpsed darkness beyond the doorway. A few patrons roamed the aisles, perusing the shelves, picking and choosing carefully. A female clerk had taken Charlie's position at the cash register. She filed her nails and chewed gum loudly. Since the war started, Abby noticed more and more women filling jobs previously held by men. She put the beets back and tried to look as inconspicuous as possible as she slowly strolled toward the door. With one last look around, she leaned closer and peeked into the crack of the door. Light streamed from a room at the far end of a short hallway. She saw boxes lining the floor and guessed they held grocery items, probably canned goods. She heard someone approaching down an aisle behind her, and she pulled back and pretended to study something in the refrigerated section. Her heart leaped into her throat. She scolded herself. "What's wrong with me? I'm doing nothing wrong." But her heart continued to flutter. The shopper strolled by her without a second look. When she'd gone out of sight, Abby put her eye to the door again. She saw only blackness. She adjusted slightly, and the door suddenly burst open and smashed into her nose. Pain shot through her, and she saw stars. She stepped away, gripping her nose. She felt blood drip onto her palm. The shopkeeper immediately went to her side and draped his arm over her shoulders. "My God, I'm so sorry, ma'am." Embarrassment flooded her, and she shook her head and tried to speak, but the waves of pain wouldn't allow her to form words. The shopkeeper raised his voice. "Claudette! Claudette! Bring us some tissues from the washroom, please." Abby lifted her chin in an attempt to keep the blood from hitting the floor or her dress. She tasted the iron in the back of her throat and nearly gagged. The short woman named Trish pulled out a handkerchief and pushed Abby's hands away. "Let me in there," she said gruffly. Abby obeyed, and Trish shoved the cloth into her nostrils, making Abby yelp. "Oh, don't be so prissy. You're all right. It's just a bloody nose." Anger gave Abby her voice back. "It feels broken." "Well, it's not. Believe me." Claudette arrived with a wad of tissues, and Charlie helped Abby replace the handkerchief with them. Still angry, Abby managed to say thanks as she handed the bloody rag back to Trish. Trish shoved it into her pants pocket. "Don't mention it." "What were you doing so close to the door? Spying?" Charlie admonished her. "That's enough, Trish. You opened the door too quickly." Trish turned toward the bare shelves in the refrigerated section Abby had been near. She turned back to Abby and raised one bushy dark eyebrow. Abby pulled the tissue from her nose and checked the flow. It had stopped mostly. "I was looking for meat that might have gone unnoticed near the edge." She regretted the excuse immediately and feigned anger. "Spying? I didn't even notice that door. You could have knocked me senseless. I should call the authorities." Charlie chimed in quickly.
Now, no reason for hysteria, ladies." Abby and Trish glared at him, and he backed away a few steps. He focused on Abby.
"I'll arrange some store credit for you. Would that be all right? No need to involve the police. They're already up to their eyeballs with work."
Abby dabbed her nose again.
"I suppose that'd be all right."
Trish rolled her eyes.
"I'll be going then."
She looked poignantly at Charlie, who gave her a slight nod. Abby watched her walk down the grocery aisle. She marveled at her determined, no-nonsense stride. If she hadn't known better, she would have thought she was a man. She watched her swipe a can off the end of the aisle. She threw it up like a baseball and caught it. She lifted her chin to the other clerk and walked outside. The ringing bell marked her passage. Stunned, Abby said,
"She just stole that."
Charlie helped her toward the checkout counter. "Nah, she's got store credit too. I'll take it out of her account." He showed her to the checkout and pulled out a pen and paper. Now, let me get your information. She gave him her address, and when they'd worked out a generous plan, Abby asked, "Who is that woman anyway?" Charlie looked over the edge of his glasses. "That's Trish Watkins. She lives a few blocks away. Known her since she was little." He smiled as though remembering happier times. Abby pushed a bit more. "What were you two doing back there? It seems awfully mysterious." The air in the place seemed to chill as Charlie's eyes darkened momentarily. He recovered quickly and answered, "That's storage space. She special ordered an item, and we were checking to see if it had come in or not." She wanted to ask more questions, but thought better of it. She left the store without buying anything. Rain pelted her face as she walked home. She opened her umbrella, and the pitter-patter sound nearly put her into a trance. Her nose hurt, reminding her of the mystery she'd stumbled upon. With each step, she became more determined to find out more about Trish Watkins. Meredith Brooks listened impatiently to her husband, Victor, speaking to a group of businessmen in a large auditorium downtown. She sat near the front, where a good, supportive wife should be. The women on either side of her listened to Victor as though their lives depended on his words. The sound of his amplified voice grated on her even more than normal. She tuned him out as best she could, only clapping when others clapped. He never acknowledged her presence even once. He might not even know she sat only yards away. Could she simply slip out and find a drink in the lobby? No, too much light. They'd notice her, and then she'd have to listen to him complain about her to Sal all the way home. Suddenly, the crowd erupted in clapping, and men and women stood and clapped louder. She didn't give one whit about his speech, but she stood too and clapped, happy it had finally ended. She could hardly keep the smile off her face. She needed a drink. She looked up at Victor's strikingly handsome face. In the stark spotlight from the balcony, his eyes sparkled and his silver mustache shone. For a moment, the old feeling swept through her like an unwanted wave through a stagnant harbor. She suppressed the feeling and decided she could slip into the lobby now without causing a stir. The woman to her right, Henrietta Swanson, gave her an imperious look. She hooked Meredith's arm and raised her voice. "Lovely speech! Really, some new and fresh ideas. Your husband is so talented." Meredith did a quick internal assessment. Henrietta and her husband were older. Her husband, Willard, she remembered, owned a manufacturing company on the south side of the harbor area. She couldn't remember what they manufactured, but knew they weren't close to the Brooks estate's worth. She gave Henrietta a slight smile that didn't reach much past her upper lip. "Really, Henrietta, this drivel interests you? Will you act on it, my dear? Maybe take up the reins of industry and make a go of it." She ran up her fist for emphasis. Henrietta's eyes flagged, but after a moment she said, "You really are jaded, Meredith. You know that, don't you?" Meredith assumed Henrietta's age and experience kept her from shying away completely. Yes. Nothing a martini won't rectify. Care to join me?" It was the last thing she actually wanted to happen, but she remembered that Henrietta's son had suffered from alcoholism and had eventually killed himself by throwing himself off the center bridge. Henrietta lifted her chin and looked down her sharp, straight nose. "No, thank you," she said icily. "Well, don't mind if I do." Meredith stepped around Henrietta and made her way as quickly as possible to the lobby. The crowd settled down, and soon the narrow halls leading from the theater jammed with a well-dressed elite seeking the same thing Meredith sought. Meredith arrived first. She swooped two full martinis from a server's tray, and it nearly toppled. The server deftly steadied the drinks and adjusted his grip. She did a double take on the young man. He reminded her of her son-in-law, Clyde. The server grinned at her, and she thought how devilishly handsome he was. She sipped half the first martini down, then asked him, "Why aren't you in the war, young man?" His eyes dropped, and his voice came across thick. "They didn't accept me into training, ma'am." She looked him up and down. She saw nothing obviously wrong with him. In fact, he looked like the cutting edge of fitness and youth.
"Well, my goodness, what's not to like?" she asked seductively.
He blushed, but answered matter-of-factly, "Heart murmur. I went to 3 different doctors. They all heard it." His smile had evaporated, and he reminded her of a lost puppy.
"You should consider yourself lucky. You've got your pick of all the women."
He blushed deeper, but his smile returned.
"I guess I never thought of it that way before, ma'am."
"Stop calling me ma'am." She extended her hand, and he took it gently while balancing the drink tray in the other hand.
"You can call me Meredith."
She took another slug of her drink and looked him up and down appreciatively. She'd never cheated on her husband, even though she suspected he had cheated on her many times.
"You poor dear. Is there anything I can do for you?"
The seduction in her voice was unmistakable, and she hadn't realized she was going to say it until she did.
What had gotten into her? She wondered.
He looked around nervously but said, "My name's Calvin Jones, ma'am. I mean, Meredith." She downed the rest of the first drink and placed it on the tray. She sipped the next one, keeping her simmering eyes on Calvin. Calvin added,
"I'm okay, I guess."
He leaned closer and asked,
Are you coming on to me?"
"Would that be so bad?" she asked with a devilish smile. Her insides screamed at her to stop this insanity.
He looked her up and down now. She'd lost some of her figure over the years, but she knew most men still found her desirable. She'd often catch men looking when they thought they could get away with it.
"Not at all," he finally said in a heavy whisper.
She had no idea what to do next. Was she actually going to go through with this? When? Where? Victor left early for work and stayed out late most days. They'd meet nightly for dinner, where nary a word passed their lips. He'd retire to his study, and she'd read in the library, or, more accurately, drink bourbon. Then they'd retire to the bedroom and each sleep in separate beds. She didn't remember when they'd decided on that. It just happened. She could meet Calvin during the day. She couldn't bring him back to the house. She wondered if he lived alone. If he lived with his parents or had roommates, she'd have to spring for a hotel with the discretionary money Victor gave her weekly. He'd never see the receipt, and if he did, she could come up with any number of lies in an instant. She had learned to lie exceedingly well at an early age. She smiled at Calvin and hoped she looked alluring. She touched his arm and leaned in close to his ear. She could feel the taut muscles in his arm, and it sent a thrill down her spine.
"I'll contact you," she said, and slipped away from him, wondering if she actually would.
Abby sat inside the coffee shop across from the grocery store and nibbled on a croissant she'd bought 2 hours ago. The server had come by her table a few times, obviously perturbed over her lack of commerce. Nothing much had happened. The grocery store patrons strode in and out at a steady rate. The short, brusque woman named Trish Watkins hadn't returned. Abby wondered for the 100th time why in the world she sat there.
"Am I simply bored, and this is a distraction? How long should I stay here? What's to gain? What if I see her? What then?"
That last question had stumped her. She didn't have a plan other than a vague idea that she wanted to find out where Trish Watson lived. But why? She startled when the server asked in his cold, scratchy voice,
"Can I get you anything else, ma'am?"
She tore off a piece of croissant and held it up for him to see better.
"No, I'm still working on this."
"Perhaps more coffee," he pressed. She tilted the coffee cup and saw it still held a quarter cup of long, cold coffee.
"No, thank you."
"We'll be shutting the doors soon. I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to settle up in the next few minutes."
She checked the time on her tiny gold watch. She'd been sitting there for 5 hours.
"Oh, my.
She scolded herself for wasting the day. She dug into her purse and handed him money.
Say, you wouldn't happen to know a Trish Watkins, would you?
He nodded as he counted out the proper change.
Trish? Sure, I know her. She's a regular around here.
Why do you ask? Abby couldn't believe her luck, but also didn't know how to answer that. It came to her, and she said,
I ran into her yesterday at the grocery store. I wanted to return something she dropped.
She comes in most mornings. He held out his hand. I can give it to her then if you like. Abby flushed. She wasn't too good at this stuff.
Oh, I'd rather give it to her myself. I wanted to thank her personally.
The server stared, making Abby shift in her seat. Your scuffed-up nose have anything to do with it? He asked. Abby touched her nose. It still hurt, but only when she thought about it. She was about to come up with a lame lie when the server added,
Are you a part of it? With most of the men gone, I guess it makes some sense.
You a player? He looked her up and down. You don't seem the type. Not having a clue what he meant, she simply shrugged and asked,
Do you have her address?
His eyes turned hard and he scowled down at her. For the first time, she noticed his hulking mass. The buttons of the off-white waiter's shirt strained to keep his chest contained. He suddenly seemed to ooze menace. He finally answered, No. He turned and left her table without another word.